For benefit of the tape, Tony Castellano. Oops, making funny noises. Okay, Tony Castellano sang some songs for us tonight. One of the songs he sang is the name of it, "I'm So Glad You Gave." Mm-hmm. Thank you, or "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." See, the guy that led Sue and I to the Lord was a real rebel, you know, in one sense of the word. He wasn't backed by any church. He just got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and started serving God, you know, with no visible means of support whatsoever. Sounds kind of familiar to me now, after we've lived that way for 2 years ourselves. And I never really thought about it too much until I heard you singing that song again. I've heard that song before, but it just dawned on me, you know. There was very few people, very few at that time, that recognized the call of God on that guy's life. And to the point that they were willing to support him with their checkbook, their pocketbook, you know.
In fact, the Lord started dealing with us, and I knew it was the Lord later, to give money to him even before we got saved.
Yeah.
When we were just attending the Bible study that he had, that he was sneaky about starting, and got all of us involved.
But you just think, you know, I mean, Sue and I got saved through that ministry because somebody was giving to the Lord, to Michael Muccio. And most of our friends got saved. And in one way or another, all the old Bible study, all the people that got saved there, and even today. And whoever it was back there. And today that guy, Michael Muccio, has a nice church up in Indiana. And, I mean, there's still people being saved. But what if the devil had been able to beat him back financially? Because nobody would give back in those early days. You know, just think of the fruit that's going to be on people's account. Whoever it was, it might have been giving him $20 a week or something, you know. But it just, you know, someday, I want to meet the people that was supporting Mike before we met him. And I'm going to say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you. That just got me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, good things are going to happen tonight. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I am so thankful for these people. Lord, if you keep giving me this much love for these people, I'm going to explode. I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. But Lord, you've told me before that Thursday night people are special to you. Because we live in America where there's 1,000 things they could be doing. But Lord, they've chosen on purpose to come over here on a Thursday night just because they want to know you better. They want to hear from you, Lord. They want to feel your touch and hear your voice, not mine. Now, Lord, I thank you that we're two or more gathered in your name. There are you in the midst of us. Lord, I know you're here by your Spirit even now. Father, I'm thanking you that you already prepared, that you have already prepared the hearts of these people to receive the seed of the Word tonight into good ground. I declare with my mouth, no person will remain the same after hearing the Word tonight. I thank you that it would be good seed going into good ground to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And whatever is in His mind to do tonight, that's exactly what we want to do tonight. The service is yours, Lord, to direct as you will. I thank you for your anointing, and I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Now all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let me go ahead and hand these out. And I always tell you, don't be reading ahead. It doesn't do me any good. It's kind of like when I say now in closing, that doesn't mean anything either. But you can read ahead, I guess, if you want to. The point is, though, sometimes your mind will be somewhere down the page, and then you miss what I'm actually saying at the moment, you know, is the only thing. Of course, some people read real fast. You want one? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, you'll notice at the top of this, the title of tonight's lesson is Jesus Will Heal You Now. Great big letters, now. And you might be going, oh, well, I'm not sick. I don't need to hear a message about healing. Well, just pay attention anyway, because at the end of this, you're going to see that the same thing that works for your physical healing works for every other need that you have. Okay? It's the same Jesus. He's the same deliverer. He's got the same anointing in every area of your life. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Now, as I've told you all before, I don't just pick a subject on any Thursday night to teach. When the Lord, you know, I can, you know, during those years of driving the trucks and praying, I wrote several hundred teachings that the Holy Spirit came and gave me, and I'm still in that process, and I've got over 700 of them in that computer in there. So if I wanted to, you know, be like the first church, I could just go in there and say, okay, we're picking lesson number 621 to preach tonight. But I don't do that. I spent most of the day over at the land praying today about what he wanted to do. And he's still going following along. You know, the prophecy that he gave several weeks ago, the prophecy for 1997, anyone here that has not heard that tape? Is there anyone that has not heard it? Okay. Who? You haven't heard? Here's a copy for you right here. Just take it with you. You can hear it later. I'm going to read you the part we're going to talk about tonight. And what he's been doing, he's been taking that real serious. And each week he's been giving me a segment out of it to expound on, because he's real serious about this. Well, tonight, the segment, I'm going to read this from the prophecy. And if you have a written copy, this is on page 3. He says, gifts that I placed within each of you while you were in your mother's womb. Now, he's talking about spiritual gifts that have laid dormant these many years. It is time now. It is time now, I say, for those gifts to manifest. Seek and covet the best gifts, but they are only activated to fulfill, they are not activated to fulfill your will, but they are activated as you seek to fulfill my will, says the Lord. My gifts are pure. I will not have them polluted, but my gifts are given for the express purpose. Now get this, my gifts are given for the express purpose for you, and he means all of you, and he means me, to be my witnesses in the earth. And by that I mean, he doesn't want us to misunderstand what he's saying. By that I mean, you tell them, listen now, listen, he says, listen. You tell them that I am alive. Tell them I will heal them, and I will do it now. You see where I got the title? I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Okay, now that's the passage that he was talking to me about. She asked for a copy, so there. Give that to her. That's a written prophecy from that tape. The words that are on that tape, and I can give you a written one if you want right after the service. Hallelujah. How many of y'all appreciate when the Lord Jesus... I figure if the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, is going to be nice enough to come and talk to us, the least we can do is pay attention to it.
Amen.
And so that's why I've transcribed it. You know, I outlined it. I've gone over that prophecy so much, I almost know it by heart. You know, I pay attention when the Lord talks. It's like every prophecy that I've ever received through Pastor Dave, I have every one of them typed. I have all of them in a ring binder in sequence. And I go over them periodically. To me, that's as much, you know, the word of the Lord unto me saying as anything else. And there's another prophet especially that I pay attention to. There's a lot of prophets I don't pay any attention to. You know? But I've watched this one for 16 and a half years and he's never been wrong. I figure that's a pretty good track record. But anyway, now when I was praying about this, I didn't really know what direction to go with it. I mean, the Lord pretty well said, I mean, that's pretty plain. Everyone say with me, okay.
I got it.
Tell them Jesus is alive.
Tell them
He will heal them.
And He will heal them now.
I got it.
Okay.
Now, the Lord wanted to just bolster your faith a little bit along this line. So where He led me, and if you know, you can either look on the sheet. I try when I have room, I put the scriptures on here for speed's sake. You know, you can look it up in your Bible later. Now I'm just going to read it without commenting here too much. This is from Acts 14:7 through verses 14:10. And by the way, this is the passage when I was first filled with the Spirit and first started hearing about Jesus as the healer. Now remember, I was raised Southern Baptist. Everyone say, God loves
Southern Baptist.
He really does. And they love God and don't think they don't either. Okay? But I never heard about Jesus the healer there. I heard about Jesus the Savior. Now, it's not that they don't believe God can heal. They do. They believe God can heal. God can. You know, you talk to a Baptist, you talk to one of my relatives and tell them God can't do something. Boy, they'll get in your face right now. Yeah, God can do anything He wants. You know, well, can He heal? Yeah, He can heal. Trouble is, with them, it's kind of a, well, yeah, He can. But it's not always his will to do it. Okay? Well, we're going to examine that a little bit. But when I was coming out of the Baptist doctrine and started hearing so strong preach to me, Jesus is a healer. He has already paid for your healing by the stripes on his back that he took right before the crucifixion. By his stripes, you were healed. And on the cross, he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains away, and you do not have to be sick anymore. Now, to me, that was new. I had not heard it like that. We always prayed, Lord, if it be thy will, heal this person. Okay? And of course, we would have liked it, but we were really shocked if he ever did. I mean, I don't ever remember really seeing a miracle-type healing all those years that we went to the Baptist church. You know, now some people got better, but I wonder if they wouldn't have anyway. But anyway, this was the passage. I mean, I was struggling to believe it. I was hearing this message about Jesus the healer. I was coming out of the traditional doctrine that I was raised with. And I didn't really know. I mean, I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old during those years, and you tend to pay attention. You listen to your elders, especially the preacher who's dressed in his Sunday best up there. And, you know, I had just never heard of such a thing. So it sounded good about, you know, Jesus would heal you. But, man, I had years of this other doctrine in me. This is the passage where the Holy Ghost finally got it across to me, that Jesus is a healer and he will heal you now, and he will do it every time for anybody. You ready? Is your appetite whetted now? How many of you already read it? No, that's all right. Starting in Acts 14:7, speaking of Paul and the ones that were traveling with him, and there, and by the way, they're at Lystra, there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, well, it tells you there, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. We're not talking a headache. We're not talking a cold here. This man was born with a birth defect, and something was wrong with his feet, and he had never in his life walked. Okay? Got that? The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, the part that convinced me, see, I kept wanting to believe that what I was hearing from these spirit-filled preachers was that Jesus is a healer. I wanted to believe that. Okay? But the gospel I had always heard wasn't really that way. Here's the part that got me, and it's verse 7. And there they, meaning Paul primarily, preached the what? The gospel. I noticed when Paul preached the gospel, the crippled man got healed. Now, I noticed also in the churches I was raised in, when they preached their gospel, the cripples did not. I had to make a decision. I think most of us are still carrying too much baggage from the teaching from prior days. I had to learn to make a decision. Somebody is wrong here. The gospel I was raised with is wrong, or the gospel Paul is preaching is wrong, because they're certainly not the same. How many of y'all think I made the right choice to choose Paul? I love the Southern Baptists. I am not against the Southern Baptists, but Paul knows what he's talking about. And the gospel he preaches, the cripples get up and walk off. I like that gospel better, don't you? Hallelujah. Let's look at a few words in that passage. When it says in verse 7, preached the gospel, those words really mean you come to announce good news. Okay? I already mentioned the fact that this is a birth defect. Birth defect. They probably, you know, if they had wheelchairs in those days, they brought the man in a wheelchair, or they carried him in, or they used crutches, you know, somehow, because the man can't walk. He never has walked. He's been that way his whole life. Now, how would that be? What would that be like to overcome? All you've ever known is you can't walk. Your whole life. Okay? That's some pretty hard circumstances to overcome, isn't it? Stinking thinking. Based on circumstances. All right? Now watch. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Whether you all know it or not, Paul was operating right there in what's called a word of knowledge. That's called a word of knowledge. Paul had no way of knowing that. But the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. Said, this man right over here, this cripple, he's got faith to be healed. Okay? And Paul knew it. Then he said with a loud voice, and how did he know to do that? That's called a word of wisdom. The Holy Ghost told him what to do. If you'll watch people that really operate in a healing, like Smith Wigglesworth had a mighty healing ministry. Do y'all know who he was? Okay? And sometimes he would operate by a word of wisdom. There was this one guy that had cancer. They'd brought in. He weighed like 85 pounds. I mean, he looked like he was just, you know, just on the verge of death. And Smith Wigglesworth came up to him and he said, "What's up?" That's what he always said. "What's up?" You know? They said, "Well, the man has cancer and the doctors have given him up to die." And he said, "Come out of him." And he took, and Smith is a great big guy, big burly guy, and plumber, you know. And he hits the guy right in the stomach. Whomp! You know? Now, trust me, you have to do that by a word of wisdom. The guy's doctor was there, and this guy quits breathing. And the doctor is saying, "You killed him. You killed him." The guy quit breathing. Smith didn't even take notice of it. He just went on to the next guy in the line and started praying. And here's the doctor back here. Here's the yeah. If Tammy's saying if she was next in line, "Actually, I'm feeling much better." Yeah, you know. But you know, here, can you imagine the doctor back here in front of everybody? "You killed him. What are you doing? He's dead." Smith keeps on praying in the name of Jesus. Blap. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't say whether he hit any more of them or not. In the name of Jesus. And he was somewhere down the line, several people down, and all of a sudden, the guy that he hit that was on the stretcher gets up and starts walking after Smith, kind of staggering. He only weighs 85 pounds. He's walking. And he's got on one of those nightshirt things from the hospital that split down the back. And everything is showing on the backsides, and nobody even cares. You know what I mean? This guy is going. And finally, he comes down here, he taps Smith on the shoulder, and Smith looks around, and, "What's up?" And he says, "I'm healed." He says, "I know it. Praise God." And he just went on down the healing line. Now, that's called a word of wisdom. Jesus did that kind of thing. You remember that one time? You can't put God in a box. You got to operate by the Holy Spirit. One time when he was healing a blind man, you remember? I mean, sometimes he would just speak the word, "According to your faith be it unto you," and they could see. One time, you remember, he spit on the ground and he made clay and he took that and he put that on the man's eyes. You remember that? There was one time a guy couldn't talk and Jesus spat and put that spittle on the guy's tongue. You remember that? And then the guy could speak. Now, those kind of things, what to do at any given moment, only come by the Holy Spirit. And that's called the gift of the word of wisdom. Now, in the prophecy, which I already handed to Tara, one of the things he said there, and this comes right from the Bible, it says, "Covet the best gifts." Now, I'm going to be real nice, and I'm not going to do this. But, you know, if I asked everybody in here, "Would y'all really like to have the best gifts?" Well, everybody in here would say, "Well, yeah. I mean, I'd like to operate in those gifts." You know, huh? That's who said she covets them. I covet them myself. But see, if I was to ask, now I'm sure there's some in here that could. But if I was to ask, I doubt everybody in here could. What I say, okay, here's the part where I'm going to be nice, and I'm not going to ask you. If I was to ask you, well, just name all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I wonder how many in here could do it without going to their Bible and looking it up. And what's scary, there's probably more people in this room that could do it than if I took a survey of most of the pastors of the first churches around this town. But yet, if you ask them, "Do you covet the gifts?" Oh, yeah. Now, do you know what they are? Oh, no. Now, don't be telling me you're coveting them very much if you don't even know what they are. You know? You understand what I'm saying? I know what you're thinking. I bet you can't name them. Well, let's see. There's a word of wisdom. There's a word of knowledge. There's 9 of them. Y'all count with me. It's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning of spirits. That's 5. Working of miracles, gifts of healing, divers tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. I covet the gifts. I've been coveting them for years. By the way, this is free. There's no extra charge, but I think the Lord wants me to tell you this. The gifts don't come by praying for them. I'm going to say that again. The gifts, those nine gifts, do not come by praying for them. They'll never operate in your life that way. He says, covet the best gifts, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. And that's where he goes right into the love chapter. How the gifts begin to operate in your life. There's two ways. Number one, they have to be preached. Preached. I never heard of the nine gifts of the Spirit. All those years I grew up in a traditional church, I never heard of them. And if they did mention them at all, it was like, oh, that passed away with the last apostles. Okay? Number one, they got to be preached, and they got to be preached that they're for today. Number two, to get them operating in your life, you have to start walking in more love. What that means is the gifts of healing. When you start loving people, when the compassion of Jesus starts flowing through your veins and your heart, and your motivation is the same as His, those gifts of healing will show up. He doesn't send you out to do you a job and to do a job for Him and then not equip you to get it done. That would be silly. You know, I've talked like that along the material realm here. It was real hard for Sue and I when we first started. Believe God, you know, just believe God. I mean, can I take up offerings? Can I send out, you know, can I sell tapes? I mean, you know, can I put in a return envelope? Something. Give me something, God. No. Just believe me. Just do what I tell you, and I'll speak to the people that, you know, to provide. Okay. You know, just do it. See? Well, it's the same way in every area, really. You live by faith, and you operate by faith. And these gifts, though, see, the Bible says faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love, see? And the more that the love of God starts flowing through you, the real love of God, the real love of God, the kind that takes no account of a suffered wrong. Well, I don't know how to get that kind of love. Get last week's tape. It's called Obtaining the Love of God. Isn't that right, Shirley? I think that's last. It's either last week or the week before. Obtaining, how to obtain the love of God. Say, well, I was here, and I don't remember. Listen to the tape again. That's why I give them to you. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sir. Huh? What? Anything you want, just... See that lady that's walking right over there? That's Shirley.
Have you looking?
All right, you'll get everything now. You'll get everything now. The man's smooth, I tell you, smooth. The last, obtaining the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shirley, you can listen. We can make them afterwards. Make them wait. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kind of lost my train of thought, but anyway, we're talking about the gifts. Now, I would think if you're going to go around telling the the two ways that they come. Number one, they got to be preached. They got to be preached. Okay. Number two, if you really covet the gifts, you need to start operating in love. That's the way you do it. He says, I'm showing you the best way. Hey, Daryl, come on in. He says, I'm showing you the best way, and the best way is to operate in love. That's how those gifts begin flowing in your life. Oh, and I said that a while ago. I said, The parallel between Sue and I stepping out in the material realm. Yes.
What do you mean, preach them? Like listening to, you know, tapes and stuff, or what do you mean by preaching?
That means you have to preach.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. You're hearing it preached. Tara asked a good question. No, I don't mean like you have to go preach it. What I mean is you need to be in a good church where the gifts are preached. See, faith comes by hearing. Well, that's good. And feel free to ask questions. See, that's one reason we have this here. How many of you get to ask questions in church? Any church? You know, and I don't advise you do that either. Okay. But that's one of the reasons we have this here. And if it's a legitimate question, you know, it's fine. Like that. Because he's going, what do you mean, preach? Well, what I mean is you need to be in a good church. You need to be where the word is being preached, where they'll tell you. There is such a thing as the gift of working of miracles, and it can flow through you. See, you need to be in a church like that. If they're not preaching that kind of stuff at the church you're going to the wrong church. It is not a New Testament church. I don't care if your daddy went there and your granddaddy went there and your great-granddaddy went there. If they're not preaching the gifts of the Spirit are real and they're for today, that's not a New Testament church. You need to run, not walk from there.
We recommend prayer center.
Well, if you live in Tulsa, go to the prayer center. Hallelujah.
Even if you don't, move here.
Hallelujah. Get on their mailing list.
That's other people.
Hallelujah. Now, getting back to the list. Oh, I never did finish that statement. Sue and I had to learn that God does not call you to do something and then not provide what you need to do it. And I'm talking in the material realm. When he started calling us to do this, we needed everything. Number one, we needed some income. Okay? You know? Okay? And then as it started growing, we needed tape duplicators. And we needed computers. And then we needed money to buy tapes. And then we need, you know, cookies. Coffee. Everything. You know, light bill. How many of y'all are glad we got electricity? Glory to God. Jesus provides all of our electricity according to His riches and glory. Hallelujah. Thank God for electricity, you know. Praise God. Well, in the same way that we had to learn that, the Lord's saying, look, these gifts are the equipping for your call. I don't send you out to minister to people and then not give you the gifts and the anointing to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, that's real good preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we're going down to... after the scriptures, we're back to the page. Now, y'all, we read that. Do you know of many churches today where people who were born crippled from birth defects can come and receive faith to be healed instantly, on the spot, and walk out of the service normal, like anybody else? Do you know of many? Y'all want to know why? We already know why. You got my paper, don't you? Because the church today, for the most part, I'm not talking saying all of them, but for the most part, is not preaching the same gospel that Paul preached. It's just that simple. It's not the same gospel. When Paul preached the gospel, cripples get up and walk off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they were born that way. Okay? But the gospel that's being preached in most churches, I mean, for every word church we've got, and I think in Tulsa we've got the best there is in the country. Dear God, we've got Victory. You know, it's a wonderful church. We've got Grace. We've got Willie George's church out here. You know, Pastor Dave's, I mean, the prayer center. We've got the best. Kenneth Hagin's Rhema Church out there. You know, we've got the absolute best there is. But do you guys realize in America, for every church like that, there's probably 500 on every Sunday morning that's saying miracles have passed away, healing is done away, tongues is not for today, the gifts of the Spirit are for, you know, died with the last apostle, you know. Dear God, the country is steeped in unbelief. It's a perverted, different gospel. It's not the one Paul preached. So now we're coming from below zero. See, when Paul went into these new countries, these new areas, that had never heard the gospel at all. They'd never heard the name of Jesus, like at Lystra. They'd never heard it. And at least they were operating from zero. See, they hadn't been taught from the time they were little that all this stuff was passed away, like I was. And like most of you were. And most Christians in this country were. They're not starting from zero. They're starting from somewhere way down. They got a whole bunch of stuff to unlearn that's been pumped into them by preachers that preach a different gospel. I had to overcome. What I mean by that, here's some, you know, for everything practically I'm doing today, I had to unlearn something that was put into me as a child from preachers. That's why I say all the time, don't you guys know preachers lie? Don't you believe anything I tell you without you taking your own Bible, checking it out, you read it, put it in context. See, they don't lie to you for the most part on purpose. They're sincere in what they're telling you. I don't mean that. But the end result's the same if they're sincerely wrong. You still believe in a lie. See, and believing a lie, I mean, this is deep. Y'all ready for this? Believing a lie, say that.
Believing a lie.
Is not believing the truth.
Is not believing the truth.
I know that's heavy. Y'all pray about that. Hallelujah. See? But you need to do away with the old. We carry too much baggage with us still yet. God, am I going to have to do that?
Probably.
Hang on. You know, let your words be seasoned. You know, be with, what is it? Salt seasoned with grace. Is that something like, or anyway, how's that go?
Let your words be seasoned with salt.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. You know, I've got some friends who were raised in another denomination. One of them's a neighbor. He loves God. He really does love God. I'm not saying this guy doesn't love God. He honest to God believes that God lives in a little box on a table at his Catholic church. And I got to talking with him about that. I mean, he's real serious about it. And I said, well, you know. And every time I try and take this guy to the word, he says, oh, no, we're not allowed to read that. That's only the priests. Now, I'm not saying all Catholic churches are like this, but this neighbor is. We've had long discussions, see. And I said, well, you know, how come you believe that, that God lives, you know, Jesus lives in a box at the church? He says, oh, well, when we take the communion, what they call it something else, Eucharist. When we take the Eucharist and then drink the cup, we believe that becomes literally the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, literally. And if there's some left over, you know, we put it in that little box. I don't know what it looks like. Tabernacle? Okay. And so his presence is in there. Now I'm trying to be real nice. I mean, do you realize that's the largest denomination in the country? You know, most, in other words, I don't know if they believe exactly that, but most, you know, and I feel like going, you're not going to find any of that in the Word. No wonder the priests tell them not to read the Bible. When Jesus said that, I mean, this is, again, this is no extra charge. When Jesus did that, the Last Supper, he himself gave them the bread and gave them the cup. And he says, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the, you know, in the new covenant. Let me ask you guys, you ready? This is deep. When he said, this is my blood, handed them the wine, where was his blood at that moment?
In his body.
It was in his body. Thank you, Pat. Hallelujah. That was Pat Cole with the right answer. So when he said that, he passed, like if Tara had been there, she's not nearly that old, but if he had passed the cup to Tara, and he says, this is my blood, she would have known it was symbolic. Because Jesus' blood is in his body when he said that. Isn't that right? Two and two make four? Okay. So, do y'all realize the whole... how many of you ever heard of the Inquisition in history? That, you know, all those people that were burned at the stake, that's the very question they were burned over. If they weren't willing to say... I mean, I myself would have been burned at the stake because if you weren't willing to say that the bread, the wafer, became the body and that the cup... the wine became the blood, you were deemed a heretic and they burned you at the stake. How's that for the love of God? And they burned thousands of them. And some Jews too. Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you want some interesting reading, there is some interesting reading. Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm not saying it'll build your faith. I said it's interesting reading. I couldn't believe that. Now see, you got to make your mind up. Does God live in a box at the church or not? Make your mind up. I mean, my Bible says Christ dwells in my heart by faith. What does by faith mean? I got to believe that. And if you're believing he lives in a box at the church and you're raising your kids to believe that, shame on you. My address is Gary Carpenter, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74157. Feel free to write me. Feel free. Hallelujah. Somebody taught you a lie. Somebody taught you a lie. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'll still love you. Hallelujah. Part with the lies. Go with the truth. Can I get a witness? David. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark 16:20. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't even finished that second deal. Do you know? Okay, we talked about that. Jesus, the anointed one. He works with believers. How many in here are believers? Every hand goes up. And what does he confirm? He confirms the word, the gospel, with signs following. I got that from Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now see, the word is the truth. The word is the truth. Nothing else is. Jesus is never going to work with you to confirm the word that he lives in a box on some table at some church. He's never going to confirm that with signs following. But you start telling people, Jesus is the healer and he will heal you now. Did y'all get a piece of paper? No? Hallelujah. He will heal you now. Jesus will confirm that. You didn't get one? Sure. I'll make another one afterward. That's the last one I had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. There is precious little word, W-R-D, word, being preached from most pulpits today. To preach the gospel means to announce the good news. What would be good news to a man who was born crippled in his feet by a birth defect and had never walked? What would be good news? You're going to come in and announce good news to this guy. He's never walked. He's got no hope. He's got no hope of ever walking in the natural, ever. Here, would this be good news? Jesus will heal you, and He will heal you now. Hallelujah. I started off by quoting something. Have y'all heard that prophecy tape from 1997? Okay, don't leave tonight until you get one. And a written one. Written. I got it both ways. This is one of the things he said. He says, you tell the people, you tell them that I will heal them, and I will heal them now. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. So that led to tonight's teaching. Okay. When was the last time that you heard a preacher walk up to the pulpit and proclaim the gospel like this? I have good news for... And can you picture? Now, picture a big church where you got 5,000 people. Okay? I have good news for all people born with birth defects. I'm here to announce to you that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One. He is alive and has been anointed by God to heal all birth defects. He is here right now, and He will heal you right now. That is preaching the Word, my friend. I like the way Norville says. I may just do it. I don't know if there's an ordinance in my neighborhood against it or not, you know. But he says, you need to print you a 4x8 sign and stick it out in front of your church service ahead of time. And says, Jesus coming at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Bring the sick and the demon-possessed.
Cool.
Now he says, until you're willing to do that or operate like that, you're ashamed of the gospel. That's the real gospel.
Amen.
Jesus is showing up Wednesday at 7. Bring the sick and the demon-possessed and cripples born that way with birth defects. Bring all of your birth defect children Wednesday night and they'll go home healed. Now, until you're willing to preach like that, you're not even preaching the Word.
That's right.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. By the way, it was after... I got previews. We don't have time to read it, I don't think. Y'all can look it up yourself. The very next thing that happens, when that crippled guy got up and walked off at Lystra, I mean, the people were astounded. And you got to remember, these are pagan people. And they said, surely the gods have come among us. And they started calling Barnabas Jupiter. Mm-hmm. And they started calling Paul Mercury. Because Paul did most of the... And they literally went and got animals and brought and were going to sacrifice animals because they thought God in the flesh was standing before them. And Paul had to straighten them out. No, 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 no. We're just men like yourselves. We've come to proclaim God, but we're not God. And he said, and even with that, it says he was barely able to keep them from making sacrifice to him. But in that same town, the next day, the religious people came down. It says the Jews, and it means they're the religious people, came down. In the very town where this miracle happened, and where the day before the people were wanting to make sacrifice to him, that's the place where Paul got stoned to death. Religion hates the true gospel. It hates it. It has a form of godliness, denies the power thereof, and the two will never agree. They'll never agree. You start preaching this, better buck up like a man, because persecution from religion is coming. It is coming. And Jesus said, rejoice and jump for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. The same way they treated the prophets. And Jesus is saying, be glad when they revile you for my name's sake. Glory to God. About to have a running fit, Tony. Glory. Preach myself. He's in my chair. That's the one I jump in. Glory to God. I jumped up in the chair one night. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I got to keep my breath. You know, I got to preach here.
I'll do it for you.
Hallelujah. We got to need a bigger house. Need a with a running track. Glory to God. Notice that the Greek. Now here we're getting. I told y'all when we started this, Now, I mentioned the title, and people will go, well, you know, Jesus will heal you now. Oh, well, you know, I knew I shouldn't have come tonight because I'm not sick. Okay? Now we're getting to that part. We're getting to that. I said, hang around, because the same thing that works for your healing works for everything else in your life. Now, watch this. This is good. Everyone say, this is good.
This is good.
Watch this. Notice that the Greek word for healed in verse 9. Now, look up at the top of your page, Acts 14:9. It says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. The Greek word there is sozo. S-O-Z-O. Now, that same word is used in a verse that all of you have used since you got saved, when you've been talking to people about trying to get them saved. And here it is. It's the same word, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sozo, the same Greek word. Strong's Concordance, which is a dictionary of all these Hebrew and Greek words right here, and it says, here's your definition for sozo. It's from a primary word, S-O-S. I don't know exactly what that other means. But it means, quote, safe. S-A-F-E. Safe. It means to save, to deliver, or protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. Again, to save. To do well, or to be made whole. Glory to God. Now, how do you get it? Let's see now. Now, you see, it's true what we preach to people, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be sozoed. How's that? Thou shalt be sozoed. Well, that's how you get born again. And that's the greatest miracle. But see, the way I was taught traditionally growing up, I thought that's all there was. You get saved, you be nice, you go to heaven. That's it, you know. But that word sozo doesn't just mean the new birth. I mean, you can see that they use the same Greek word. I mean, sozo means birth defects are made normal. Amen. Glory to God. Made whole. Birth defects made normal. When the blind got their sight, you could have said they were sozoed. I guess that's how we'd say it. You know? They were made whole. I got news for you. When your pocketbook, your wallet, your checkbook has more than enough to pay your bills after your tithe and offerings, more than enough, it got sozoed. Hallelujah. Now, what makes sozo work? Do y'all like the sozo?
Yeah.
Everyone would like to have some sozo?
Yeah.
Here's how you sozo. Okay. Let's go back to Romans 10:9 there. Here's how it works. Here's how you get sozoed. Everyone say with me. If I confess, and only if I confess, with my mouth, not my mind, my mouth is on my face,
my lips have to move,
sounds have to come out,
for me to confess,
with my mouth,
that's
half, you're halfway there. You got that part? Mouth. Everyone say mouth.
Mouth.
Words.
Words.
Me.
Me.
Say.
Say.
You're halfway home. Halfway. Because most people never do that part. They'd like to hear about it, but they don't do it. Okay? That's half. And here's the other half. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, speaking of Jesus, from the dead. How many of y'all believe that? See, I don't have any problem with you guys knowing that part. I really don't. I know everybody in here. I don't have any problem that you believe Jesus is raised from the dead and right now seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe you. So if we're falling down on this verse, what I mean by that, if your pocket... Okay, I'm looking. I don't want to talk to anybody. If your wallet is not sozoed right now, which half of the verse you reckon is the problem? It's the confession part. Well, that's true. That's true. But see, confession changes what you believe in your heart. That's the thing. But yeah, after a time. Dave taught on that just last night. You know, when he was giving us those... Was you there last...
No.
Oh, you got to get that tape. Hallelujah. But see, confession changes what's in your heart. It can change what you believe. If you are having a problem with doubt in your heart, I taught a message one time called Have the Faith of God. And the end result of it is, if you will put what God... See, God's Word is what He believes. Do you understand? I mean, how simple is that? Do y'all think Jesus believes He is your healer? You don't think He has a problem with that? See, our problem is our circumstances dictate to us that He's not. Okay? But He's up there saying, I am your healer. And our circumstances are saying, He's not your healer. If you will take what He says and start getting that in your mouth, just like this says here, start getting it in your mouth, faith comes by hearing. And as you hear yourself say it, and you hear yourself say it, what He believes, eventually, it takes some time, becomes what you believe. And when you believe what He believes, that's called faith. And His stuff works for you. Most people say, I struggled with this forever myself. Brother Gary, if I'm sick, you know, I got symptoms in my body, and right then, even while I'm sick, I start saying, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Isn't that lying? You know, it seemed to me like it was. Isn't that lying? Jesus gave us the definition for all time of what truth is. Father, Thy Word is truth. The truth of the matter is, you've already been healed 2,000 years ago. The devil is still called, even in this dispensation, the God of this world. And he does most of his work through circumstances. And his whole job is to bring circumstances to you to get you to not believe the truth, which is God's Word. Now, I think it's fine to tell, you know, people that aren't schooled in this, that don't understand, it's obvious you have symptoms in your body. Say, look, I understand that I have symptoms. I know you can see my nose running. You know, you can... I sound like I got a cold in my nose, you know. I understand that, but I want you to understand, I know a higher truth than that. I believe that Jesus bore those stripes on His back and carried away my sicknesses and pains on the cross, and that by His stripes I was already healed. That's what I believe, and I believe I've received it. Now, I know you see symptoms in my body, but I'm going by something bigger than that. I'm going by God's Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth, I'm telling you, these circumstances will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. I'm going to stay with that. How's that? Well, Jonah. Remember Jonah? You know, how many of you, I can relate to Jonah, because Jonah's whole deal was, God says, I want you to come and do this thing for me. And he said, no. I know nobody in here has ever done that. I did that. Jonah fell out of a boat, and I fell out of a truck, too. God says, I want you to go this way, and I want you to preach something for me. And Jonah basically goes, no. And he gets in a boat and goes the other way. So God prepares a fish and sends it after the boat. You know? And eventually, to make a long story short, you know, big storm came, and Jonah kept telling him, no, the problem is, I'm the problem. Toss me overboard, and you'll be okay. They didn't want to do it at first, but they finally, the storm got really bad, and they said, okay, we're tossing you overboard. You see, that's a type and shadow of Jesus. Jesus had to be tossed overboard for all of humanity, you see, so that we could be free. But anyway, they tossed Jonah overboard, and guess what? God's fish was following right there. Now, if you could really picture this, you're in the belly of a fish. Have y'all ever smelled fish? How dark would it be? I never saw a fish with windows. How dark would it be in there? What about stomach acids in a fish? I mean, that thing's trying to digest you. You know, one of the reasons why Nineveh... Now, this is Gary Carpenter's opinion. Whenever it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. I believe one of the reasons that later on when that fish got to... You know, it took... What it did, that fish took Jonah right where God told him to go preach in the first place and spit him out on the land. Okay? And they believed Jonah's preaching. And you know why I think one of the reasons why? I think he was bleached white by the stomach acids in that fish. Here comes this guy out with white hair and bleached white, you know. Can you imagine how he smelled? Repent! Can you imagine? We better pay attention to this guy. You know. Hallelujah. But Jonah learned a few things by getting back around to it, because the question was, are those circumstances a lie? Okay? When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, now how bad are those circumstances? Pitch black. You can't see nothing. You're getting eaten up. It's stinky. It's smelly. And he likened it unto being in hell. Jonah did. But here's what he said. You think your troubles are bad? I don't mean to look. You think your troubles are bad? Hallelujah. Lacey, you think you have troubles? What about Jonah? In the belly of a fish. You know, and what we normally do is, oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Oh, I know you're God, but my car payment's due Friday, Lord. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, and we got all these problems, right? Here's Jonah. With those circumstances, you know what he said? He said, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own salvation. He called all of those circumstances lying vanities. What are you going to call yours?
Lying
vanities. Hallelujah. Now, if you observe them, if you start paying attention to them, you'll forsake your own salvation. You'll forsake it too. You either hold on to God's word and observe that and say that and hold on to that, or you'll start observing the circumstances. And if you start observing the circumstances, you will forsake your deliverance. Hallelujah. That's good preaching again, Brother Gary. Glory to God. This is a lot easier to preach than it is do. I've been there. Tell me. Behind, threatening to come get the car, you know, threatening to turn the electric off, threatening, sometimes do. We come within one day of having our telephone turned off one time. You know, no, they did turn the telephone off one time. Hallelujah. That's been a long time ago.
A few years ago, that wasn't even after.
No, that was before. That's before. Hallelujah. But anyway. Now, I know what it feels like to have those kind of problems. Yes. What? Yes, a question? Oh, she's just going glory? Oh, okay. Anyway, I know what it feels like. Nothing in you at that moment wants to praise God. Nothing in you wants to. I mean, what I'm saying is... What I'm saying is... Let me, yeah, I do, too. What? Hallelujah. Now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, when the pressure's on like that and the circumstances are that bad, it's hard to lift up those hands. I thank you, Father God, that you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's hard. It's hard to do that. When you're racked with pain and your body is hurting, it's hurting. You know, that's why it's good. I always say it's best to confess healing scriptures when you feel good. Get it built up. It's easy to walk around when you feel good. Bless God. By His stripes I was healed, you know. Then when you're, you got that, and I don't want to speak nothing, you know, but if you had symptoms like the flu and every bone in you hurts, your eyebrows hurt, your eyelids hurt, everything hurts, you know, your elbow hurts, you know, it's a lot harder then to say, oh, thank you, Lord. By the stripes of Jesus I was healed. But I'm not going to observe these lying vanities and forsake my own salvation. I am going to observe your word and only your word. Hallelujah. Or right in the midst of the bills. Oh, I thank you and I praise you, Father, that you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As long as I seek the Lord, God makes me to prosper. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. It's hard to do that when you're behind on the bills. God loves it when you do. That's what this is all about. God has given us salvation, sozo. He has given us His Word. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And the enemy is coming to challenge all of that. So now the war is on. Circumstances come. And if you had a good preacher, the Word has come to you. And now the choice is up to you. You're going to side with God. You're going to side with the devil. You want to please God's heart. I mean, right in the midst of everything that hell can throw at you, you'll give the devil a nervous breakdown. You'll put him on, what do they call it? Valium. No, what is it? Prozac. You'll get the devil on Prozac. He'd be going, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? I had their electricity cut off. I had their water cut off. I had them, you know, their car broke down. I've thrown all these circumstances. And they just keep praising God. Ah! And the devil will run off. Then God's angels move in and they minister unto you. Hallelujah. And the floodgates of heaven open up. And money starts coming your way and healing and everything else. And your kids get straightened up and off dope and all that stuff. Hallelujah. But it doesn't come without His Word. It does not come. Romans 10:9 again. If, I wish that letter was 4 foot tall, that word right there. In your Bible. You know, if you don't mark in your Bible, you need to buy a Bible that you can mark in. Because if you ever circled anything in your life, that's the word right there to circle. If, let's read it like this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you'll be sozoed. Okay, say that with me. If I confess, wait a minute. Say, if I confess
the word
with my mouth,
I will be sozoed.
And if I don't,
I won't.
That right there is the hardest thing for people to believe. Hardest thing for people, they think if it gets bad enough, you know, right at the last minute, you know, if it gets bad enough, see, they've still got it in their mind that somehow God is holding back their deliverance. They've got it in their mind that that's the way it is. But He's watching me, you know, and He loves me. So, you know, if it gets bad enough and the pain gets bad enough and it really looks like I'm going to die, Tony, He'll come heal me, won't He, Brother Tony? He'll come when it gets bad enough, won't He? He'll let you die. If you don't believe that, ask my friend Jake, who died of cancer 2 weeks ago. Love, God, tongue, talking believer, good man, a good man. Not enough confession to get this verse activated. If you just want to know the truth of it, that's all it is. That's all it is. I love Jake, and his whole family, if they get one of these tapes. I just want to stop the next one from dying. I just want to stop the next one. Because it says, if thou shalt confess. Getting people to do that, to actually, honest to God, get the Word of God in their mouth and confess it until it becomes alive in their heart, like David said. So, see, at first you're drawing the faith of God into you. You're drawing the faith of God into you. You're saying what He believes. The Bible says in Amos, can two walk together unless they be agreed? You know? Well, start saying what He says. You've already got what He believes in your lap there. It's called the Word of God. If He says you're healed, we'll start agreeing with Him. Amen. Bless God, I'm healed. Sniffle, sneeze, wheeze, you know, all the symptoms in your body. Bless God, by His stripes I was healed. You know, and you're walking the floor. What are you doing? You're agreeing with Him, and faith is coming. Faith is coming. What He believes is coming into your heart, and it's coming into your heart. And in one of these days, though, there's a turnaround. And your heart goes click, and the register goes full, and something in you goes, by His stripes, I am healed. You know? Then you start speaking that word, and now it's going the other way. Now power is coming out of you. And those symptoms, they go, wow, and they run off. Y'all remember that time when Jesus rebuked the fever on Peter's mother-in-law? And in the Greek, you know what it really says? It really says, like in the Greek, He rebuked the fever, and the fever got up and left. Like it had a consciousness of its own. It doesn't say it was a spirit. It said it was a fever. He rebuked it, and the fever went, ow, I got to get out of here. And it left. You know? Well, that's the way your circumstances will do. That's exactly the way they'll do. They'll flat turn around on you. And it doesn't matter. Boy, I've been really good not to step on her, haven't I? Hallelujah. Thank God for the angels. Hallelujah. Yeah, have you ever got that about sozo? Confession with the mouth and believing in the heart will get you sozoed in every area of your life. Not just healing. Not just finances. He'll get your kids off dope. See, it's just a matter of finding the right verse. Right now, I'm using, I think it's Isaiah 49:45. I love this one. Get this. God says about your kids. Even the lawful prey shall be delivered. Now, that means if they're out there doing stuff wrong and they know it's wrong. So the devils have a right to attack them. They're lawfully, you know, they become prey by their own hand. But it says, even the lawful prey shall be delivered. Then it says, and the captives of the mighty shall be delivered. That means, I don't care how big these devils are that might be having your kids right now, dope devils, speeding devils, lying devils, thieving devils, I don't know, you know, pornography devils, all of the above. I don't care how big they are. I don't care if a principality came and got one of them. What? Downer devils and upper devils, hallelujah, whatever. I don't care how big. It says the captives of the mighty shall be set free. The Lord says, I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save your children. Boy, that'd be my verse for you. There would not be a day go by I don't remind the Lord of that verse. I'm doing it right now, and, you know, ourselves anyway. Glory. Is that a verse? Man, that is a sozo verse. Now, if you will confess that and believe in your heart that God means what He says and says what He means, your kids will be sozoed. All of them. Yeah. All of them. If, I said, you confess it. And if you don't, they won't. It says if. What can I do to get if? And you know how I know if you got it? Well, let me put it this way. You'll know if you know that you got it tomorrow. Because you'll either say it or you won't say it. You'll either finally say, maybe that Gary who keeps telling us we need to spend some time confessing the word on purpose. On purpose, you know, not just wait till maybe we don't have nothing to do, but schedule some time to do this. Maybe, just maybe, that might work for me. See? God, I'm looking forward to that day. We'll let you get up and preach because it'll take you 2 hours to give the testimonies of how God's angels came and how the power came. And how God prospered you. And how God healed your body. And how God delivered all your kids. And how God did all these things. I mean, it'll take hours for you just to tell. It'd be like you'll be like the madman of Gadara after he was delivered. And he wanted to go with Jesus and said, no, I got a mission for you. I want you to go back through these cities and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Joyce Meyer's whole ministry almost is based on that. Have y'all ever listened to Joyce? I love Joyce Meyer's. And what does she tell all the time? Here's how God dealt with me on this. Here's how He delivered me out of that. That's her. You know, God may give you a whole ministry just telling them, because there'll be so many wondrous things happen to you if I said you start confessing it. He may give you a whole ministry because it'll take you the rest of your life to tell all these miracles that God did for you. How would that be for a ministry? I like that. Hallelujah. Jesus becomes to you what you say He is. If you call Him your provider, and I don't mean once, if you worship Him, you call Him your provider. Jesus, you are my provider. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor. You became poor, Jesus, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. Oh, I worship you, Lord. You are my provider. I'm part of your church, your bride. You are my husband. Lord, I know you're a good husband. I know you provide for your bride. You supply all of my needs. You have access. We have an inheritance from the Father, you and I. We're husband and wife. And we have an inheritance from the Father. And He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You start doing that, calling Jesus your provider. Oh, He'll become that to you. Start calling Him your healer. He'll become that to you. You start calling Him your child deliverer. I don't know, child rescuer, child, just start calling Him your child savior. How's that?
Yeah, that's what He wants.
Yeah, call Him your child savior. Jesus, I call you the savior over all my children. Go get them, Jesus. You're the good shepherd, and some of them are out there. Go get them. Hallelujah. You start calling Him that, He'll become that to you. And if you don't, He won't. See, that's the hard part. That's the part right there that preachers have, you know. They love it. Y'all love it tonight, don't you? You're having a good time, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're not talking about tonight. We're talking about tomorrow. We're talking about tomorrow's when it counts, see? Hallelujah. He is your deliverer from all the works of the devil. Hallelujah. What? Now, going back to this passage again, what did Paul do? He did three things. He just did three things. He preached the gospel, the real one. He just came in. I'm announcing good news. Jesus is Lord of all. He's anointed to heal the sick. And I got good news for all birth defect people. He'll heal you and he'll heal you now. Now, he may have, you know, I don't know what all was in his message. We're not told. But that's basically the gospel. Two, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He operated in one of the gifts. And in three, he gave the word of command. Hallelujah. Now, what did the cripple do? Okay, he heard, everyone say, he heard the word.
He heard the word.
He believed the word.
He believed the word.
And he acted upon the word.
He acted upon the word.
Now, that right there will get your victory every time. There are no exceptions. Jesus is not, he doesn't make partiality between one person and the next. He won't heal that guy. That guy even back then that Paul preached to. He won't heal that guy and not heal you. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. You say, well, I've heard the word. I've heard this, and I'm still sick. You know? Well, sometimes, like we said a while ago, sometimes. Now, Paul preached under a heavy... Do y'all think Paul was a good preacher? I think Paul's a better preacher than I am. Okay? I think he walked under a heavy anointing. Okay? You come back a year from now, who knows what might be happening here. Okay? You know? Sometimes faith has to come. Sometimes you have to get this in your mouth for a while. I had to for a while before our prosperity started manifesting. It was hard for me to believe it, even though I knew it was in there. Faith had not... I wasn't believing really what God was believing. See, God's sitting up there in heaven going, I really am El Shaddai, you know. I mean, honest to God, I am. I'm looking around heaven. There's no other gods up here but me. And he says, honest, really, I mean it. Really, in there, that book, really. I really am your provider. See, God believes that. So our problem is getting what he believes into us. Well, sometimes that takes a while. Get it in your mouth. Start walking with him. How do you do that? Agree with him. You are my provider. Your circumstances says no, he's not. And you go, you just keep looking up. Yeah, you are my provider. We're walking together. You say you're my provider. I say you're my provider. And see, faith is coming. Okay, I've already did that. We don't need to do... Y'all got that part?
Got it.
All right. There'll be a test later.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, there will be a test later to see if you got this or not.
Not given by us.
Hallelujah. Okay. Acts 10:38. See that second statement I made up there where it says, he is your deliverer from all the works of the devil? Mm-hmm. See, that comes from Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing... And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Hallelujah. And then you say, well, yeah, that was great for that day, you know, when Jesus was on the earth. You know, yeah, they could all get their needs met. Wait a minute. Hebrews 13:8. Say this with me. Jesus Christ.
The same.
Yesterday.
And today.
And forever. Say this with me. He is my provider.
Today.
And forever. He'll provide for me tomorrow. Next week.
Next month.
Next year.
Forever.
He never changes.
I never change.
I say he is my provider. When it looks like he is. And when it looks like he isn't. I'm just like him. I don't change. Hallelujah. Now you get to doing that, we'll let you stand up here and give your testimonies, because it'll take you hours. It'll take you hours to tell all the great things God did for you. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see if you've got anything else going here. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, since I got 5 minutes. Well, now listen, because we got preachers in the room. I'm a preacher. I'm not walking in as much of this as I'd like to yet, okay? The Lord was showing me today. The very thing that Dave... I thank God for the prayer center. I thank God for Pastor Dave and the message he preaches. Because, see, when I was really studying this, I'm going, God, you know, I'm a preacher. I mean, I'm preaching. I believe this with all I'm able right now. But yet Paul, you know, he goes in and the guy gets up and walks off, you know. And he says, go back and look at Paul's life again. See, we forget. Paul got saved. Well, everyone knows Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, you know. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately he started preaching. And I don't know if you realize it, he started making such a mess in the churches. Barnabas took him back to, you know, his hometown. And he stayed there 3 years. 3 years. Those 3 years right there is where he developed a relationship. He says, Jesus came. I didn't learn my gospel from any man. I learned it from the Lord. Now, how did Jesus come? The way he always comes in this dispensation, by the Holy Ghost. Now, he may have had a vision. I don't know. He didn't say. But however, he learned it by the Holy Ghost. See, and he spent 3 years doing nothing but fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit to learn. And really not just a matter of learn, but to become intimately acquainted, a true, honest to God. He knew Jesus like I know Sue, and even more so than that. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. See, none of this works by formula. It all works by relationship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It all works by relationship. That's why I know that's why he said in that prophecy over and over, spend time with me. I love that song. You know, don't, how did he phrase it in the prophecy? He says, I don't want to hear your words of love while I see you give your life somewhere else.
That's right.
See, I don't want to, you know, don't be telling me that while I watch you give your life somewhere else.
Yes,
see, hallelujah. What if Paul, now I know they didn't have this, what if Paul would have spent those 3 years at the bingo hall in the movies? And I could have picked anything. I'm just saying things, you know, that the world does. You think he ever would have got to know Jesus? The real, you know, really get to know him and walk in that kind of anointing? No. Neither will we. You might as well know that. Neither will we. Tony, how'd you like to be the one that walks up to the next crippled kid you see with cerebral palsy in a wheelchair, preach that gospel to him and say, arise and walk. And he gets out of the chair and walks. That's going to come by fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who's going to create an intimate relationship between you and the living Christ. I'm in that process myself. I pray that you be also. And thank God for Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. Thank God for that, setting us on the path of the walk of the Spirit. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Anything else, Lord? Anything else, Lord? All I hear him saying is, sounds like Winston Churchill. Don't. Everyone say with me. Say, never.
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 Quit.
Quit. Hallelujah.
That's the way you win.
Never.
That's the way Winston, that was that attitude right there, that bulldog of a man, Winston Churchill. Did y'all know that was a complete speech that he taught in Missouri during World War II before it was over? They flew him all the way from England over here, Winston Churchill. And he was giving, you know, at the end of the year, one of those, when people are graduating, one of those speeches, you know, that was his whole message. And I forget now, I think there's 11 nevers. Quit. And then he turned and sat down. What a message. What a message. If you don't quit, you will win. What does the Bible say? Do not become weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap. If you faint not. That means if you don't quit. Hallelujah. That's enough. We got cookies. I don't know what those things are wrapped up over there. and coffee and things. And then anybody that needs tapes, Shirley, tape department. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay.